Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Grave Consequences podcast. I am Caleb B. That's where you can follow me on Twitter. You can follow Greg at X Maserati. Follow the show at GC underscore cast. However, be warned, neither of us tweet from there. So it'd be nice to get the follow count up, I guess, but don't expect us to follow you back or send a tweet, but still follow it. That being said, we are a part of the Social Suplex Podcast Network. We drop every Thursday morning at approximately 6:30 a.m. Eastern Time. I'm sure you can figure out why that is. Follow Social Suplex at Social Suplex on Twitter. Look for the Grave Consequences podcast or Social Suplex Podcast Network wherever you download your podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe, especially if you have Apple Podcasts. Give us that 5-star number or whatever you feel is more appropriate. It helps out the algorithm. It helps out us as well. Our record date is March 9, and the title of this episode, this is Season 1, Episode 29, the title is Fight to the Death. And I knew just by the title alone and what they had advertised for this show last week, this was going to be a landmark episode. Am I wrong, Greg?
No, this would be essential viewing, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Yes. You have to watch. This is one of those. This is why sometimes we're, you know, we wanted to rate an episode higher when I had to pull back and give it like a B or a C. It's because of episodes like this, where this would be like an S tier match or show otherwise. So a 6-star rating. And I don't like to do that too much. So this is a great show.
Yes, absolutely. And with that, let's get right into it. Sure. Okay. So the first thing we have here, walking the streets of Boyle Heights outside of the temple, we have the Black Lotus, and she is stopped by Chavo Guerrero, who tells her, like, if you want to get revenge, you got to do it the right way. You got to get revenge in the ring, and you know what? I'm going to help you. As soon as he said, I'm going to help you, it's like, you probably shouldn't trust this guy. Another thing Chavo pointed out was apparently his papa, his grandfather, the father of Eddie Guerrero, the father of his dad, Chavo Guerrero Sr., Gory Guerrero, was apparently there when Black Lotus's parents were killed by Matanza. And he also claims that the Guerreros hate the Cuetos just as much as you do. And the takeaway I got from this segment is that Black Lotus is just as foolish, just as naive as El Dragon Azteca. And why she has decided to implicitly trust Chavo Guerrero, I don't know.
Well, one, how's Chavo going to protect you from anything? He's not a top tier wrestler. He's going to get his ass kicked by Mill or, you know, anybody there. And two, like, I got the impression that was all, that everything he said was a lie. I'm not predicting I mean, I'm pretty sure, I don't think this is a spoiler, but I'm pretty sure, like, he said his grandfather was there, like,
yeah.
I don't think that comes up ever again. It's
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that's a one-liner they never acknowledge again.
And normally we like to keep this spoiler free, but we also like to warn you to when not to expect something, like, because they'll mm-hmm. kind of tease something and it's not going to happen. Don't trust Chavo. I mean, if you're a wrestling fan,
I was going to say, we don't have to tell them that. That's the thing.
It's just, and we go back to the storyline of this, the whole kind of, not the whole show, but this is kind of like the spine of the show. Like, this is what the story, all the other stories kind of circle around, like the Quaitos and whatever happened to Black Lotus. And, dude, I don't even know if it's I don't want to spoil other stuff, so I'll just stop there. But
either way, I guess the point you are making, and the one I definitely make, is that this storyline sucks, dude.
And I think the point I was making, and poorly, was that it doesn't pay off.
Yeah.
It does not. It's stuff happens in second season related to it, and maybe I don't even think there's a match related to this, like, because it's seasons. This isn't too much of a spoiler, but they have like their WrestleMania at the end. We'll cut this out if you think it's too much spoiler, but I don't think there's a Black Lotus match. I'm like 100% sure there's no Black Lotus match.
I'm not going to comment on that because I can't remember, so
I'm pretty confident.
Yeah. Anyway, after that dud of a segment, we have Los Riobox playing us in, and Vampiro is hyping us up along with Matt Stryker. And Vampiro, dressed up in the full formal Juggalo, he's wearing the long gray sleeves and the red button-up. Great stuff. Great stuff.
It's good to see that he's at least committed to one thing.
Mm-hmm. And he told us that, you know, with the death match and everything, that this show, and this is the enunciation he used, and forgive me, I am a cracker-ass cracker from Oklahoma, but he did say that this show would be brutal, 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 for what it's worth.
It was?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first match of the night, Aerostar is ringside, and he's here to face off against Johnny Mundo with his new attitude and everything. By the way, I can't wait, and I don't think he gets the new music until the third season, but I can't wait till we hear Johnny Mundo's second theme.
I don't even remember it, because they so hardly play like entrances like a regular wrestling show.
Yeah.
I don't even remember this week's entrance music. It's kind of a riff, and that's it.
Yeah. Here's the thing. They legitimately spent, I want to say it was in the third season, they gave like 2 minutes of showtime to Johnny Mundo recording his theme.
Wow.
It's the one that he sings. So like, and the way that they played off comedically and all that. But the first match of the night, like I said, Aerostar versus Mundo. And Mundo was just like snuffing out everything that Aerostar brought to the table. Did you notice that?
They were definitely trying to portray Johnny Mundo as, well, they're trying to make him look strong. By doing so, like, they didn't exactly feed Aerostar to him. And Aerostar is established as a mid-card guy, upper mid-card. So it didn't hurt him too much. I mean, I'll tell you what, man, like, I liked some of the moves that were done here. I think Aerostar did a springboard Meteora. I believe it was him that did it. And yeah. I don't know if you caught, Mundo did a modified Anaconda Vice.
Oof, I did not notice that, though.
That they called it an Anaconda Vice. It's not really, because he had his hands in the different position. He basically, usually one hand feeds underneath and the other one goes through. But yeah. Mundo had both his hands on Aerostar's main hand that's being bent back, so it looked like it was hurting. So I thought it was different. Like, if I were a wrestler, I might try that. Maybe a jiu-jitsu guy might be like, well, that's not going to work because of this reason, because of that. But for me, with someone that has limited, you know, mat experience and other than that, watching fights and watching wrestling, I thought it looked good. He was doing some different. It's kind of like when a babyface goes to a heel and they have to get more technical because they can't be too flashy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what he was kind of doing here a little bit. The whole point was him just like, as you said, and I think you said it well, he was just putting Aerostar's offense down. He was just shutting him down every chance he got.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. By the way, Aerostar at one point countered the end of the world by grabbing Johnny's leg. I thought that was great planning for sure. By the way, Vampiro, and a side note, Vampiro mentioned that here on Twitter, apparently there's a drinking game. So that, you know, people take a drink every time I say brother. So brother. That cracked me up for sure.
You know why that happened is because he was doing a vanity check on himself already.
Yes, absolutely. not even one season through the show, and he's already vanity searching.
He's not a talent. He's an announcer, and he's vanity searching himself. I mean, that should tell you everything.
Absolutely. If someone gave me a list of like 50 wrestlers and they said, hey, who's most likely to vanity search themselves on Twitter? If Ethan Page or Dijak are not on that list and Vampiro is number one.
I didn't know Dijak had a issue with that.
He used to. I don't think he does so much now that he's in gimmick on there, but yeah.
That's probably good and healthy for him, though. It's not healthy to do it.
I mean, Twitter game like actually got better since he became T-Bar, if that's, you know, odd enough, but that's the case.
I mean, I can believe it. Some wrestlers have just I had to take a break from Twitter recently just because I got tired of all the bad takes and the wrestlers getting mad at fans or, you know, just sometimes it's too much, like, just too many bad opinions. But how'd you feel about the finish? Because I liked it because he delayed a little bit. And I think that made it look like a stronger finish by doing it. You got to be careful when you do that because you don't want to bury the other guy. But
yeah,
they're trying to build up the end of the world as a, you know, dominating finisher, which you should do.
Yeah.
And my only not even problem with the match, because I love the match, but they're kind of building Mundo up to be more of a brawler. And I think you'll agree with me that if you're going against Alberto, you kind of want to. That's kind of his world. I mean, he's beating up Ninja Turtles, his brother.
His brother, Paige, probably. Any number of people. Yeah, like Vampire, or pardon me, Alberto. Not the guy you want to brawl with, bit or not. That being said, the end of the world does look much stronger now. And again, he didn't really bury Aerostar with the delay, but it just made him look stronger, you know?
It's just a concise victory, and I don't think Aerostar can handle a loss, because he, even though he lost to Drago, he's been made to look strong. Like, when it's one of those things where I hate when everyone deals in absolutes, like wins and losses matter. Well, no, they don't. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a middle ground. Like, you can have a guy lose every match and still have him be over.
Well, you know, it's like and Floyd made a joke about it. We were at a Revolution this Sunday. And after Ethan, spoiler alert, I guess, on March 18th, for anyone who's still not seen Revolution and somehow remain spoiler free, Ethan Page debuted in the ladder match, did not win, though. but as soon as Scorpio Sky won, Floyd looked over to me, sarcastic as I'll get out, and said, well, Ethan Page is buried.
Yeah, people will say that, too, and they shouldn't when it's a multi-man match. Multi-man matches aren't this. Especially if you didn't take the fall. And in a ladder match, no one takes the fall.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the only way someone looks weak is if they get, like, taken out 3 minutes in and never show back up. That's it.
Or show back up and still lose.
Like, Cody, that sort of thing. Show back up with a steel chair and still lose. Cody sucks.
Dude, that match, and we won't get into it, but that was my least favorite match on the card.
Really?
Because it was a mess.
The crowd wasn't really, and this may piss someone off, like a James Boyd, if he does listen to this, but the crowd wasn't really into Shida and Rio.
That match was kind of slow to start. I wanted to like it more, but it took me a while to get into that one because it was kind of off to an awkward pace at first, I felt.
Yeah.
And that's my opinion. I think maybe the ring was too big. For what Rio was into, and they kind of switched the dynamics. Now Rio was being like this egotistical mentor, and that wasn't really her story. it was weird because they were building her up to be like a, she's come back, like she got reinvigorated to wrestle, but also she's kind of like not the heel, but she's the mentor, you know, disrespecting her student. It was kind of a lot to go into the match with, and then it was just an awkward start. But I did like the match at the end. It did pick up.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing with the women is, like, I don't think it helped that they went on after the Battle Royal. Even though the Battle Royal did go long, the Phoenix and Jungle Boy finish, or the face-off, rather, was really hot. The crowd was really hot for that, you know?
Dude, that was – I think you're on the money with that, because that was – Jungle Boy, that's the best he's ever looked in Lucha Underground, in AEW, in my opinion, because he looked like he was going – you know, head to head with Phoenix, and he was doing all right. And I think you're right. Because I really did like the tag team battle royals. I think AEW on as far as like as many negative things as you're going to hear about the card. One of the things, and we were just talking about this, two of the things that they're doing great is I like the fact that there's no clear cut heels and faces, because people can be more human in their reactions. Like Eddie Kingston coming out to save his friend, even though he's a heel, and even though the finish was, you know, botched. And I love the tag teams, bro. Like, the tag team battle royal was fun as hell.
Yeah, absolutely. But enough about that outlaw. Yeah, but enough about that outlaw mud show bullshit. All things being considered, next up we had Sexy Star being interviewed by Vampiro, and Sexy basically says Pentagon's a bully. But she takes the and, you know, the fact that she beat him and he's still coming after her, she takes that responsibility and the consequences from that. Vampiro asks Sexy if she is scared of Pentagon, and Sexy asks a great question. She says, "Would you be asking this question to me if I was a guy?" Because here's the thing, like, Sexy Star, yes, I get it. Like, she's kind of small, obviously, because she's female, but she can hold her own.
Yeah, and he did follow up by saying, like, well, he's been going around breaking everyone's arms, you know. He kind of tried to justify it that, but.
And he did also get accusatory. He said that Sexy let Superfly get his arm broken by Pentagon. So, ever the antagonist, Vampiro, over there.
See, I was so disinterested that I wasn't paying too much of attention. Anytime Vampiro is doing an interview, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, no, I get you.
He's no mean Gene.
To me, it's like, okay, it's a Vampiro interview. No, he is far from a mean Gene.
he's the bizarro mean Gene.
Absolutely. He's a mean Gene's evil twin, I guess. Evil Canadian twin. Next up, and I didn't know this was on this show because I thought this main evented 1 week, but not the case. Hernandez challenged Prince Puma for the Lucha Underground Championship. And the first thing Stryker pointed out, Vampiro pointed it out. Hernandez had a wardrobe change. He's now in a singlet long boy combo, and it looks amazing.
I had Christian Cage vibes from it.
I mean, yeah, Christian. Oh, yeah, he did in like 02 to like 03, right? Would wear that sort of thing, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, fair enough.
Not that
shout
it's
out
bad.
Christian Cage.
Yeah, it's not that it's a bad thing. It had that cross on it. So I was like, that's kind of what Christian Cage did for a while.
Yeah. There was one point when Puma held the ring and he kind of mocked Hernandez with his swag ring and that sort of thing. That really popped me.
Dude, yeah, Ricochet can have charisma when you lit him, and that was a good spot. I think one of the quotes that Vampiro gave that I think you need to go into this match with, because it helps enhance the flavor of it. Trees don't have legs, so go for the head.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yes, dude.
Trees don't have legs. Go for the head.
Love it.
Great quote. This was a great match, bro. This was a really good match. I'm looking at my notes. I don't want to go over the moves. There was one thing where Conan distracted the ref and Puma hit Hernandez with a chair shot. So
yeah,
they were trying to keep Hernandez strong with that. I could have done without it because I don't think he needed it. Because Hernandez is just kind of whooping. He has charisma, like where he is a badass, and his moves are his moveset is amazing. It's just all power moves. And just like that kind of that crazy, like, I don't know, Kurt Angle strength, like where he's just tossing people, or Taz. Like he's like a he's really fun to watch.
And Hernandez, like he does the little things right. And he actually like he swaggered into a pinfall. And of course that only got him a two. And it's one of those things is like you want to be mad at him, but he's so cool.
Yeah, he's like we were like I was editing the previous show, like we said it there, like we were dead set against Hernandez, but he's won us over in like a couple matches. Yeah. If probably if not the first one. He's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
I could have him versus Mundo, him versus Alberto, him versus Puma here. I think I don't know what he's doing nowadays, but as long as he's not hurt, man, he can really kind of you can kind of put him in the ring with almost anybody and have a good match, which is a you know, that's a good thing. He'd be a good hand for any wrestling promotion as long as he's still the same.
Exactly. Let me see here. Pardon me. Sorry, I got something in my throat. It's being all weird. Hernandez moved away from the 630, and then he nailed what I believe was the Gringo Killer, if I'm not mistaken. But
is that the which one's the Gringo Killer? Is that the Outsider's Edge?
I believe so. Yeah,
he did that it once. Right. I don't remember what point.
I'm sorry, dude. I gotta hit the cough button. My bad.
You're cool. I can continue talking if you want to mute. And
yeah, feel free.
Word. Well, let's see. Well, let me check my notes. We're so professional. Damn, I lost my place, bro. I'm dying.
That's all right. I'm here. I'm here, man. This is my flu game. Don't worry about it.
Word.
Let's see here. Hernandez said for it again. And Conan points it out. He said, like, hey, he's done this too much. You know you can get out of this one. And then, sure enough, Puma gets out of it. That was a really good piece of work there by all three involved.
Dude, the chemistry between all three of them, like Conan, the things he shouts make sense. Like, he's in character. It adds to the story. I could tell you one thing I love, dude, is that Puma sold his own finish, which makes sense because he finally did land the 630. And he gets up all dizzy and dazed. I know it's stupid, but I kind of like it because he does land on his neck.
Yeah. And no, that's the thing. Like Puma like had to fight and scratch and claw to even hit that thing because he went up top. Hernandez met him there. Headbutts, kicks, everything to get Hernandez away from him and on the ground. Puma finally nailed it. And pardon me. Must be something in the air. Sorry, Puma nails it and wins the match, retains the title. So it looks like we have moved on from that, it would seem.
It would seem. I mean, it was a great match. I didn't go over all the different spots because you really should see it for yourself.
Yeah.
Puma does an amazing landing from a throw that I won't spoil. You should check it out. Great match all around. Like I'm beating a dead horse, but Hernandez is great here. And so is Puma. Yeah. Puma looked really good here. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but he was just crisper than usual. He had great chemistry with Hernandez. Like, it was a fun match the whole way through.
And now here's time for the main event. This is the death match between Phoenix and Mil Muertes. Phoenix was channeling his inner Hulk Hogan with his red and yellow attire. Mil Muertes was wearing all black. This is the first time we've seen Mil Muertes in his new gear. Looked amazing.
And you know, this new gear,
and the Skull guys are there too.
Yep. And the new gear he's in, you said it's all black, but I was thinking about, this is the first time he shows up in it, signifying his rebirth. And his old gear was kind of bummy. They looked like old pajamas. Like, they were just blue and light blue striped pants. He's dressed to kill now, like, in his gear. Like, he's, his mask is even, I think, more, it has like little outlines where his eye and mouth holes are. Like, it's he's stepped up his gear quite a bit, and it's signifying a new Mil.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the first things that should have told us, oh my God.
Are you dying again?
Yeah, sorry, dude. I'm going to stand up, see if that does me any better. Mil Muertes is out there. Phoenix dives at him to the outside, and Phoenix just bounces off of him.
Yeah, Mil was not fucking around in this match. Like, he, the previous match, he lost because he had to get Phoenix in the coffin. But he was too focused on actually trying to murder Phoenix that Phoenix eventually won. And Katrina was on Phoenix's side helping him out. But this time, like, the match is to kill the other guy. So we're really in Mil's, it is in his, directly in his favor. Katrina's on the side. He's got the goons. And he starts, I missed the Mil, dude. I missed him. He is Maserati Pro Wrestling. He is just whooping ass.
I think, and maybe Mil Muertes should have been the guy to be the big signing at Revolution this weekend.
I would have liked it.
You would have liked it, and I would have liked it, but a lot of people would have been like, is that Judas Macias?
No, he has to be Mil. No Judas Macias. Ain't happening. Dude,
all right.
One of my favorite moves was, he does this choke slam that's more of a Uranagi. He killed Phoenix with that.
Yes, dude. Well, here's the thing. He killed Phoenix with that, and he killed Phoenix with a chair shot. But then he fireman carried Phoenix up the steps. Mil then powerbombed Phoenix through the roof of what I believe was Dario Cueto's office.
if Dario's is on the right where the Mundo threw Patron through, these guys are in the opposite corner.
Maybe that's like Dario Cueto's the co-founder of LU, or the co-owner or something, the silent partner.
Possibly.
I wonder what he thinks of all this, man.
It's just counting the money.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. I am sorry about all the coughing.
It's fun. It's not as bad as you think.
That's good. That's good. Because Phoenix then gets carried back to the ring by who I'm going to call the Putties for now, because we don't really have a name.
No, that's perfect.
Mil Muertes nails the flatliner, but he took a second to do so. It was almost as if he was like saying something to Phoenix, like, hey, you're dead, you son of a bitch, or anything of that nature.
He was talking to him. He was choking him as he held him, and he choked him as he fell down with the best flatliner ever.
The BFE.
I can't emphasize how much he whooped Phoenix's ass. And Phoenix had some great moves. Like, he did a rope walk back heel kick at one point.
Yeah.
Phoenix tried, but he's going against death in a death match.
Yes.
And Phoenixes don't defy death. They die and come back. Yes. So.
Exactly. No, you're absolutely right. And also worth noting that at one point, Phoenix did dive onto Mil Muertes and also onto a cameraman, but Mil immediately rose up.
Yeah, Mil did that Undertaker, Bray Wyatt shit.
Michael Myers sit up, yeah.
Yep. You're fucking around when they got that magic.
So, flatliner, Mil Muertes gets the win, and then Katrina gets in the ring at the suggestion of Mil Muertes. That's I think the first time she's done that with his suggestion. And she gives Phoenix the lick of death.
You good,
Greg? Yeah, I'm good.
It's and I just want to go back and emphasize that he went to the top of the arena and he power bombed him through the floor of an office that was adjacent to Darius. And it was a nasty looking power bomb too. But they cut to Phoenix on the ground with broken wood everywhere, and it was a great spot. It's such a good finish.
It was amazing. You're good. Are you also about to cough?
No, my dog's been today's the first day we've had good weather. And I tried to take her on two long walks because, I don't have really have a yard, so I got to walk her. And I was trying to be nice to her.
Yeah.
But each time she kept eating crap off the ground, she knows she's not supposed to do that. So each time after she did her business, I turn around and I yell at her and I let her know she's being bad. But she just kept doing it. Now she's pouting because she didn't get any great walks. Well, she knows better. She knows better. She's not a puppy, so she kind of like, it's one of those things where someone blows like an opportunity for themselves.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel bad for you, but like, you know, you got to stop being stupid.
Look, okay, here's the thing. She might have blown an opportunity and got scolded by you and not been able to walk. But last week, the crew blew an opportunity in a ladder match. And Dario Cueto, the consequence they will suffer is going to be much more severe. Cueto is with them in the bowels of the temple. He says, like, you left me with no other choice. Lets them see. Presumably Matanza. We haven't seen him yet. It doesn't matter. Tells the three guys, like, hey, someone's got to pay. You got to sacrifice something. And you guys decide. Now, Bale is in the middle. Sisko is to the left or the right. I can't remember. And Castro is opposite that. Sisko and Castro look at each other. Immediately grab Bale. Run him up to the bars at the suggestion of Dario. And all we see is blood splattering on the hands and faces of the crew and blood splattering on the bars. And Bale is dead.
Dead. Is he the first death so far?
Yes, he's the first person to be killed off on Lucha Underground.
And notice how we say first.
Who? Oh, yes. Because, although Phoenix did lose the death match, like, he didn't actually get literally killed, for what it's worth.
Even if we did, I don't count a Phoenix's death because even Mill
rises
didn't
from really, the rises from the ashes.
Yeah, exactly. They're not really dying, those two, but other people do die, like in real life, they're dead. To keep kayfabe, they've literally murdered people.
Yes, like Bale was actually murdered.
Yeah, he's dead now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But no, when you see blood splattered on bars and on faces, you have one assumption to make, you know? Greg?
Yep. I was trying to think of someone else to add that could. This isn't my best episode, but.
No, this is far. This is probably my worst episode, and that's mainly because of this weird cough.
You got a hair?
I hope it's a hair. But no, this did like. And here's the thing: I wasn't coughing all day, and it doesn't sound like a COVID cough because I've heard COVID coughs described before, and this is not a dry cough either. So.
But usually they have pretty trouble breathing and like other stuff going on. So
yeah, and I don't really have that right now, so that's always a good sign.
Do you have a fever?
No.
Yeah, you're probably fine.
Yeah, this would be weird if this was like an obit episode. I better not die within the next week and a half. That'd be pretty lame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you would have died on the best. Podcast on the Social Suplex Network, though. You could put that on YouTube.
Here's the thing. We are the best podcast on the network, but there's plenty of other good ones as well. Mm-hmm. You've got All Things Elite, Floyd Johnson. Sorry, go through the lineup.
Oh, crap. No, I got to do it. Okay.
Yes, you have to do it. I'm going to cough.
All right. We got One Nation Radio with James Boyd and Rich Latta. They cover pretty much everything, not even wrestling. They'll go into politics, other sports. I'm not sure what their main focus is, but, you know, Dr. Josie is going after stardom. Rich watches anything he likes. New Japan. If WWE has anything good. And AEW, of course. We got 8-Bit Suplex with heel Josh number 2. And they cover TNA, Impact, and video games. I wouldn't be surprised if he gave his thoughts on AEW Revolution. We got Great Match Generator with DJ Cooks. They find a match that's incredible in the past in the vault, and they go over it. They review it. It's a good show. Grown men watch this shit. Ricky and Clive. And I'm speeding through it, but that's because I'm not prepared.
Ricky and Clive, you said?
I said Ricky and Clive. And I want to. I'm pleased to announce that Ricky and you have buried the hatchet. You're friends again. All it took was some rando. Yes. And and you know it's a good thing to see. It's heartwarming to see.
It is. Yeah, we squashed the halal, so that was good.
Yep. And I think I covered every show that we have. I mean, check our articles because I know Muzza has been writing some stuff as well as Jeremy. It's all good stuff. So check our website, check our articles, our written articles as well. It's lots of great content.
You know what? You know what it is, where this cough is coming from? I've theorized it.
Your boyfriend.
Yes, that doesn't help. But the seasons are changing. And yes. Spring is really starting to roll in. Pollen, all this other good things. So I'm thinking that's it.
It's good to hear.
Yeah, yeah. I just, you know, I don't want to die, you know? Not really a fan of that concept.
Well, like I said, you will be remembered. I'm sure it'll take our fans many, many hours to forget about you when the new co-host comes on.
Yeah.
You know.
My only wish is don't replace me with Muzza.
That's exactly who it's going to be.
Damn it. Hey, folks. For anyone who has doubts as whether or not this is the greatest show on the network, and also maybe for me, it could be nothing more, nothing less, nothing else than grave consequences.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.